Thank you for listening to this DuPont Media production, available on all major podcast platforms. This is Rod Peterson on Demand. If it has a score, we cover it more. From football to lacrosse, hockey to baseball, we've got what you want. Welcome to the Rod Peterson Show.
Good morning, Canada and Canadian sports fans around the world. Welcome to the Rod Peterson Show on this Friday, October the 25th. Coming to you from the bunker out here in Western Canada. We've got some very exciting news today. We have some very exciting guests. It's a very big weekend here in the Wheat Province and specifically the Queen City. NHL Heritage Classic festivities are underway. They actually got underway Monday with a jersey exchange and the proclamation with the NHL at City Hall. This morning, the pancake breakfast. And of course, the NHL's Jets and Flames will meet Saturday night at Mosaic Stadium, followed by the WHL's Prairie Classic with the Pats and the Hitmen. And don't forget week 20 in the CFL. All kinds of things are going on. As Bob Cole would say, everything is happening. And it's like it's all happening right here. And we're not even going to call this the warm-up as we have through 101 shows. Today's 102. We got a new sponsor for this opening segment. We're going to get to that. But you're wondering who these guys are in the bunker with me. You all know John Lynch, Hall of Fame writer, broadcaster. Morning, Frenzy.
Good morning, Rod.
You did not spill syrup on your sweater this morning.
I did a good job of that, didn't I? My wife was so scared that I would do that, and you'd take it out of me and embarrass the hell out of me. So she gave me that extra shirt.
Lynch came with two shirts today in case he spilled syrup at the NHL pancake breakfast and he didn't.
Yeah.
And Jamie Thomas, our longtime friend from Winnipeg Jets TV, joining us. You know him from Rogers Sportsnet, Calgary Flames broadcast, TSN 1150 Hamilton, man of the world, man about town. Welcome back to the Queen City, Jamie.
Thank you very much. But there's nothing more prayers than a pancake breakfast. That's what's
is it just
without saying every large event you have to have a pancake
outside,
breakfast?
Outside, it was outside.
Yeah,
it was
see
cold.
That also prairie. So prairie.
Well, we don't have Jamie here for a long time, but we have him for a good time because he's going to skedaddle over to the NHL Legacy Luncheon, Heritage Legacy Luncheon, which we'll meet you at, by the way. Right. We're going to be a little late getting there. But Clark, do you have those photos? Can we put those up? I picked up Frenzy early this morning, and we went down to the pancake breakfast. So here are some photos from Victoria Park this morning. That's just what you would expect, right, Jamie?
Yeah. In Regina.
Yeah, go ahead. Rolling along. What else do we have? Oh, is that the only one? Oh, Gene Mikowski.
Got out of the tent.
Minister Gene Mikowski, and that's Tim Reed, the president of Evraz Place.
He looks like he's shivering.
Yeah. It wasn't even that cold.
No, it wasn't enough.
Lord Stanley, don't bring me the brandy.
taking photos. The Heritage Classic, yeah. Actually, yes.
Pat's alumni there, Darren Wilcox, Al Dumba, Drew Callender, City Councilor Jerry Flagel weaseled his way into the photo, and Kim McDougall.
You can't.
A lot of the guys from the 1974 Memorial Cup champion Regina Pats. So, Jamie Thomas, if you can bring us a little bit of an outside flavor here to the Jets' perspective for the game.
Well, the Jets this year are a work in progress. You're missing three key components on the right side of your defense. Tyler Myers gone. Jacob Trouba, excellent player. So you have to start rebuilding, unfortunately. They're elite talent up front, but what they did bring in with the Jacob Trouba trade was Neil Pionk. He came over from the Rangers. The Jets also got the 20th overall pick in the NHL draft, which they used to pick Ville Heinola. Nice young Finnish defenseman.
He's a stud, they say.
Yeah, he's surprising a lot of people right now. But if he plays tomorrow, which I assume he will, it'll be his ninth game. So the big decision comes afterwards if they're going to send him to the Manitoba Moose or back to Finland, or he stays in the NHL. But as everyone knows, it's the toughest position to adapt to in hockey as defensemen. So they have a very tough decision that way. But Neil Pionk has been fantastic. He's kind of worked his way in. He's small, but strong lower base, so he's thrown a lot of guys off and impressed Jets fans and the organization for that matter. So he's manning the power play. Josh Morrissey started the year in that one. Now Neil Pionk will be on power play one. So, and then you got your elite talent up front, right? You got Blake Wheeler, you got Mark Scheifele, you got Patrick Laine, Nikolai Ehlers, Kyle Connor.
Huge stars, yeah.
Yes.
But see, I'm really happy, and we do build this as Football Friday. There is a CFL component tie-in here, right, Frenzy, from the pancake breakfast. Yeah. Believe it or not. So hang with me. Wait, there's more.
Yeah.
But Jamie, I'm glad you went immediately to the hockey, and here's why.
Yeah.
Peter Labardius was on with us on Monday. Your good friend. And he said, it's not about the game. It's about the event, and the teams will step back and enjoy the atmosphere. And I'm like, it's still 2 points.
Yeah, it's important.
Right.
Yeah.
So what's the Jets' mindset coming into this?
Well, they've played much better defensively. And the thing is, when you lose the quality of defensemen that they have, you have to start rebuilding, as I mentioned. They've started kind of getting a game plan in place, started playing a lot better. Their last game against the Los Angeles Kings, however, they gave up 40 shots and were slow off the start. The Jets, if they're not skating, they're not efficient, they won't win games. So they lost 3-2 to the Los Angeles Kings at night. So they've got to be in their bonnet, as they say. They didn't play as well as they had been recently. They went 1-4 on their homestand. And now Bell MTS Place, they've dominated the last couple of years. So to start that way, put you at 5-6. Now this game against the Calgary Flames brings a whole new meaning. And yes, it's great. It's a spectacle. But there's things that need to be done. They have to get back to 500, and they go on the road for 3 more games after this. So to get that win on Saturday would be very huge for them. And considering how they played, I expect them to be coming out flying on Saturday
night. Just the schedule, if you don't mind. They will skate this afternoon.
Yeah, they'll skate 4 to 6, I believe, is their ice time at Mosaic Stadium. And then they'll have a morning skate tomorrow at Brand Center.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah. And you don't want to start going as it's a must win or anything like that. But the way the Central Division is, if you start getting too far behind and you get locked in those wild card spots, it's not really a place where they want to be. But so very important 2 points. And you're playing a conference rival at this point, and they didn't score the last time they played in the Heritage Classic. So you want to get that out of the way, because they'll get asked about that. Trust me, they're going to get asked about that today and tomorrow. They were shut out by the Oilers 3-0 in Winnipeg. But I didn't bring that up.
You didn't. No. Bring what up?
Yeah.
By the way, ringing the sponsor bell. We got a new one. For 101 episodes, we called this opening segment the warm-up. Guys, we're calling it the rollout, sponsored by Flooring Superstore and my good and longtime friend Trent Dickin over there. A cousin, by the way, of Minnesota Vikings center Brett Jones. So thank you, Trent Dickin, and the whole Dickin family for coming on as sponsors of The Rollout. We're going to roll out the show every day in this segment. It's our most viewed segment of the show. Thank you again, Flooring Superstore, formerly Carpet Superstore, now Flooring Superstore. Thank you. It is loud, isn't it? That's to get everybody's attention. Now, in the time we have left of The Rollout for Flooring Superstore, Frenzy, things just happen to us, Jamie. Lynch and I.
Well, it is live television.
Well, but it's a Seinfeld episode. Every day is a Seinfeld episode, particularly when he and I are together. Mm-hmm. So, John, tell them about the nice folks we met this morning at the pancake. We should have got a picture of this at the pancake breakfast.
Parked the car, came and sat down. 3 people sat across from us. We started talking to them. And they're a man and a woman married with their son. Big treat, big trip, coming to Regina to see the Classic.
Right.
And they're from Nova Scotia, from Halifax.
Okay.
So naturally, Rod and I got in the discussion about hockey and what's going to happen down there. And they just said, well, we're not that interested in hockey, but in there. We got some junior hockey.
No, in football.
In football. We're not that interested in football, but we're just not that interested. We got good hockey. We really don't care that much about it. And I said, well, a lot of effort's been put into it in the last year to selling the product down there. We thought there was some progress being made, but now we hear there isn't. Then we hear there could be again. What goes on down there? And they said, well, I just think you better just realize nothing's probably going to happen.
Oh, no.
And I said to Rod, it's like,
that's what we're hearing?
You see that beautiful blonde you want to take out, eh?
Yeah.
You ask her out 10 times, then you realize she really doesn't want to go out with you.
Might take 11 or 12 times.
It's called wearing them down.
But I think, Drummond and Blonde, I mean, LeBlanc, they put a great effort in there and, you know, put their money out up front. I can't believe the people of Halifax.
Yeah.
But I guess they really don't want it. They're afraid to spend that kind of money. The best they'll do is a 1,200 seat stadium or 12,000 seat stadium, which is
$500 a ticket.
Yeah,
and that's the thing. Jamie had talked about. I'm trying to find this in our Twitter feed here. Jamie had said he's all Jets all the time, and I get it. I mean, that's why now I was all Riders all the time for 20 years. Now I can actually get out and look at some other things.
Nice.
It's nice. It's a breath of fresh air.
Yes.
But here it is from HalifaxToday.ca, the website. The Halifax's mayor is admitting there doesn't seem to be much interest around the council table to move forward with the proposal.
Oh, man. I thought for sure it was a slam dunk.
We did, too.
Well, we all did.
Yeah.
We were told it was by a very experienced man in this type of thing.
Right.
This field. And I guess he's wrong.
Well, and that, again, we want Halifax. It doesn't seem like Halifax wants us. And that's why I said yesterday, I'm not going to get into this. Like, Lynch is one of these guys that daily, you're in, reading all the papers, you're up, you're down, you're around.
Yeah.
I'm not getting into that daily drama. Just tell me if it's a go or if it's not. And the CFL survived for 100 years without Halifax. We'd like it. Yeah. But if you don't want the CFL, hey.
This could change around breakout time, though.
Jamie,
how
How could we sit there today, walk in and sit there,
yeah,
and sit across from those people? I mean, you talk about incredibly stupid things that happen, eh?
Yeah.
And, but the guys made it coolly, not even forcefully, saying, yeah, well, it's. I don't think there's any interest. I don't think it's going to happen. And they're happy to be there. All they want to do is talk hockey.
That's the people. They're the ones that matter the most. They're the ones. Yeah. Those butts have to be in the seats. So I could see that point of view. It's funny how it's been painted that it like as much as I haven't been able to pay attention to the CFL, I did think that Halifax was going to have a team.
Yeah,
that's it was moving that way.
Yeah,
and now it's moving the other way. And you know what? By tomorrow, it could move back the other way.
Well, it's got,
that's the thing.
That's the way those things work, right? There's a new building and there's not a new building. That's just the way these things
work. But it can't go to 12,000 seat stadium.
No, you will never survive.
For 1 year? No, of course.
There's no
20,
way.
At least.
Jamie, before we let you go, a couple things. One, you were the morning man at TSN 1150 Hamilton, midday morning man, covering the Ticats. Just talk about that and the love for the Ticats in that town. And they've set a record for wins this year already.
That's so fantastic. Like, Orlando Steinauer is one of the best people in this game. I got the joy of working him at one of the Grey Cups, the last Grey Cup 2009 in Calgary. Just a great guy. And you just knew this team was going to have some success. But when Jeremiah Masoli went down, I thought they were done. Good for Evans. Yeah, it's just they've done a fantastic job building that program. And I think I'm still thinking as much as I've been outside of it, I still look at a Saskatchewan-Hamilton Grey Cup would be fantastic.
Oh, would it ever be?
Like Hamilton the city has been so patient for them to have something special going and for this to be happening. I'm very happy for the organization.
And lastly, Heritage Classic, you're here covering it with the Winnipeg Jets, Jets TV. When's the last time you were in the Queen City?
Oh, geez.
It's been a day or two.
Oh, you know what? When they had the news conference, amazing how fast this goes. So I was here just a little while ago.
And before that?
I flew on a prop plane with Mark Chipman, and we were in and out so fast, so I apologize for that. But it's been a while. Yeah, it's been a long time since I've been here. This is one of the few cities I haven't worked at in this country, so
it's add it nice to the list.
Back. Yeah, one
good
of these days.
Well, Jamie, thanks for coming in. I
My
appreciate
pleasure,
it. You making it a priority to be here this morning. Thank you so much. And I know your world's a blur, so you take off, and I'll see you at the luncheon.
I might remember this.
All right, Jamie Martin Thomas.
I've heard a lot about
nice
you.
To meet you.
A whirlwind, maybe would be a better word. But yes, Jamie Thomas from Jets TV. Frenzy and I will be back on the way in hour one. Eddie Steele, our Edmonton correspondent, to talk about the Riders and Eskimos clash Saturday at Commonwealth Stadium. This is the Rod Peterson Show on Facebook Live. Listen live at rodpeterson.com and catch our podcast at Apple Podcasts, Google Play Music, and iHeartRadio.
Our biggest sale of the year has returned. The greatest auto sale is back at Capital Ford Lincoln. We have over 800 new and used vehicles to choose from with savings up to $19,000. And for a limited time, we're offering finance rates as low as 0% on new vehicles and 1.9% on used vehicles. Buy or lease a new or used vehicle during the Greatest Auto Sale for your chance to win your payments for a whole year. Run down, walk down, bust down, or fly down. Just get yourself down to Capital's Greatest Auto Sale.
Hi, I'm Joshua John Batista. I'm a staff radiation oncologist at the Allen Blair Cancer Center. CT simulators are essential for all modern radiation treatments. Before a patient can undergo the treatment planning process, the CT simulator is the first step. So it allows us to plan and deliver radiation treatments for thousands of patients.
This isn't just a beer. This is a double-aged, never-back-down, full-of-heart Western beer. This is a beer brewed by 16 guys who risked it all. Original 16. Underdogs since 1989.
Laid back and kicking it, let's head back to the studio. Here's Rod.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. On this Friday morning, Football Friday, as we now delve into the football. But first, a Friday morning sports update for our friends at Ballers Rec Room. Matthew Tkachuk scored twice in regulation and added another in the shootout as the Flames recovered from blowing three leads to beat the Florida Panthers 6-5 last night. Sean Monahan also scored in the shootout for Calgary, who will practice this afternoon at Mosaic Stadium and take on the Winnipeg Jets Saturday night in the Heritage Classic. How about those Oilers, eh, Lynch?
Yeah, how about that, eh?
Leon Draisaitl had two goals, including the OT winner, as the Edmonton Oilers erased a two-goal deficit to defeat the Washington Capitals 4-3 last night. Connor McDavid set up Draisaitl for the winning goal, 118 into the extra fame. And dang it, are they exciting to watch?
I guess so.
They were losing.
Are they
all
for real?
Game. I think they're for real. It's too early to ask that question, isn't
yeah.
it? Oops, it's too early.
Far too early.
Just enjoy it.
Yes.
Just enjoy it. San Jose Sharks snapped a two-game skid by beating the Canadiens 4-2 in Montreal. Evander Kane scored twice on the power play to lead the visiting Sharks offense. I think I'll stop there. Again, daily poll question. Oh, that's coming up. That is the morning sports update. Presented by Ballers Rec Room. Are we announcing that party there, Tyler?
Yeah.
Watch party Saturday night at Ballers, right in the heart of the Dewdney Strip, for the Jets and the Flames and the Heritage Classic. And now to the daily poll question for Capital Auto Mall, Universal Collision Center. Who will you be cheering for in the Heritage Classic? Any bets on who's leading, gents?
Calgary Flames.
Jets all the way.
Yeah, I got to pump the brakes and think about who our audience is. I'm going to go Jets.
The Winnipeg Jets are running away with this. 68% of the vote will be cheering for the Winnipeg Jets, 32% the Calgary Flames. I have no idea why this show is so popular in Winnipeg, but I thank them for that. So it shouldn't be surprising.
No. Of course not. Yeah, not surprised. I guess my first reaction was, what's Mosaic Stadium going to look like? And my first thought is that there'll be more Flames fans than there will be Winnipeg fans, but maybe not. I think it's going to be really interesting. A nice mix, a really good atmosphere.
Well, I'm still... John kind of fibbed a little bit in his story about the people from Nova Scotia this morning. I had left the table and went to go get pictures with a Stanley Cup. Frenzy was there by himself with these three, and I didn't even know they were from Nova Scotia. I thought they were from here. Yeah. And John, you know, John gets talking yes. to them. And so the point is, they're not all Jets fans or Flames fans. They're just hockey fans have converged upon this city. But I know the people are waiting for the football talk. So I was at the Armory last night, sitting with some of the guys, and they brought up, what do you think about the Arsenault news? And I said, what Arsenault news? And they said, oh, it was on 3downnation.com. Emmanuel Arsenault will take the spot of Jordan Williams-Lambert for Saturday's game in Edmonton. And I'm like, am I way behind here? I was like 90 minutes behind. You know what I mean? But that's how fast things
feels
move.
Way behind.
I'm like, oh my God, I'm lost. And then I'm thinking about it, and I'm like, the Riders have been winning with, I guess, subpar performances by everybody. Not everybody, by some people on an individual level, and they're still winning.
Yeah.
So Manny Arsenault comes in. All it means is that it's a hungry lineup. They're fighting for a spot at every position to get on the field, and that includes receiver, and Jordan Williams-Lambert gets sat down. And gentlemen, if you've watched the last two games, I saw the quote from Craig Dickinson. He hasn't been bad, but he hasn't been great. So let's give the other guy a chance.
Yeah.
He doesn't look like the guy who played here last year. I mean, he had 64 receptions, 782 yards, and he was bigger. I think he's lost a lot of weight. He looks thinner out there.
Right, but he's playing with a different quarterback, too.
Yeah, that's right.
A guy who plays the game differently.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
And that's a big deal, too. If you're a deep play receiver and you've got speed, but you got a quarterback who doesn't throw the ball deep, of course you're going to have a bad season. Not saying that that's how this works out, but I'm just using it as an example.
I love Manny Arsenault.
Yeah.
He's got speed. He's a winner. Makes big plays, eh?
Yeah.
And he's a leader out there, team leader. The team loves him. The fans love him. He really adds a lot to that team, I think. That'll make us a big threat deep tonight or tomorrow night.
Yeah. Well, again, Jordan Williams-Lambert is a healthy scratch. I will say it again. This Rider team, the reason I think it's so quiet is they've got no problems. They've got no drama. What are you going to talk about with this football team other than how great they are, which most people don't like to talk about? That
in this city,
they want to nitpick, they want to find something wrong,
right on.
And there's literally nothing to say.
Zero.
Nothing.
Yeah, there is no problems. And if there is, you know, they're doing a really good job of keeping it in their own house, keeping it under the roof,
sure.
Right? And taking care of the problems themselves. I think that's what's important.
Very professionally done.
Absolutely. This group has done a really good job at keeping things really quiet.
And winning.
And then they win football games and nobody's talking. When you're losing football games, then people are looking for things to be upset about.
Just rolling through the Facebook wall and the feeds. Are you hearing some interference? Are you hearing something? What's going on, Dupes? It's okay.
I got it.
We got delivery. Oh, it's that television over there. Guy, you'd think we'd have it figured out by episode 102. Regarding the Heritage Classic, Phoenix's Nelson writing in, and he says, Winnipeg is technically closer than Calgary. Maybe that's why they have more fans. I don't think that's it. There's not a ton of Calgary
is
Flames
it?
Fans.
How far
in
is
this
Calgary? Six
it's
and a
8 hours.
Eight? Oh, yeah, okay.
You've driven it.
Yeah, not from Regina that often. It's always been from Saskatoon in the most recent. But
it's 8 hours.
This is a down-to-earth Winnipeg fans going against the arrogant Flame fans. That's what we got here. You wait and see.
Racket! Can we use that for the meme after? Say that again, Lynch.
The down-to-earth Winnipeg fans fighting the arrogant Flames, the Stampeder, but Flame fans.
Well, they're the same fans, same fans, town. Yeah. There you go.
See,
Lynch stirring it up here today.
He's stirring it up. I like that. And you know what? The Bomber fans are down-to-earth, and they're like us too, right? Yeah. Hardworking. Just want to get something to go their way. But I don't see the same thing with the Flames. I really think... Do you not? I get a feeling that Stampeder fans and Flame fans are different. I get the feeling that the Flames are kind of a little bit more lunch pail and down on their luck a little bit and just trying to earn it. And the Stamps, they just get it every year. So, but I know what
spoiled.
You mean. It's Calgary and Winnipeg. It's the two cities. Yeah. And
lunch
I like
pail
it.
Versus arrogance. That's the John Lynch.
Lunch pail versus arrogance. Turn. I can sell that.
By the way, speaking of down-to-earth lunch pail Winnipeg guys, Eddie Steele will be joining us in moments, the former Rider defensive tackle. Grey Cup champion, D-tackle with the Eskimos, and he played with the Ticats too. But just on the Winnipeg vein, clearly there's a lot of people listening and viewing from Winnipeg this morning. The game tonight, Canada's game of the week, is Zach Collaros starting for the Bombers against those Calgary Stampeders. It's a game the Riders will be watching very closely because they need Calgary to lose for the chance to nail down first place here. Did you guys see the quotes from Zach Collaros at all? Have you had time, Darren, in the last 24 hours? He just said, hey, I'm out on the field, and I want to thank the doctors. I'm not concerned about my health, and we've been cleared by the best doctors and specialists. And he says, my wife's relieved. I'm relieved. And what I thought when I was reading that, and John, you must have read the coverage, was it reminds me of a Pats doctor back in the 90s, a doctor for the Regina Pats, was working on a very high first-round NHL draft choice that was in the Pats lineup. And I believe he quit working with the Pats after that because he's like, I don't want the pressure of this. Do you know what I mean? Like, this is millions, millions, millions of dollars at stake. Not so much in the CFL. It was the case with that Pats player. But here's Zach going, doctor said I could, which we probably all would. But he's putting it on the doctor.
You know what? For the first time, I feel more comfortable about Zach Collaros playing. I really, really worried about the guy and his health and all of this and that. And the one thing you forget about, or that I forgot about, was that there's more than just him and his health and his teammates and football. You just mentioned his wife. He's got a family. And that made me think, wow, you've got more to think about than just yourself. And he's thinking about it. But she's good. He's good. As a family, it sounds like they've made this decision together. If they're comfortable with it, I'm a little more comfortable with it that he's healthy. And part of it is that I just want to hope that he's healthy. And I want to believe this and root for the guy. So maybe that's where it's coming from.
I think it's a gift for the Stampeders, this game. I mean, I saw the players, the lineups. Three quarterbacks are Collaros, Scott McGuire, and thirdly, a guy by the name of Knight. I don't even know his first name is. He's the White Knight, I guess. Hey, gonna say,
yes.
Come riding in the White Knight. I mean, it's pretty sad. I feel for the Bombers. And it's a big game for both teams, and the Stampeders want to win it, and they have as a quarterback, so I think the Stampeders will win. And that, fellas, will settle everything. It's all over. The rest of the games are exhibition games.
Well,
you realize that, don't you? Where the standings are all settled after that game.
When Calgary wins, you're saying.
When Calgary wins, yep.
Yeah. Well, I just look at Zach. I don't have any reason to believe that my mindset should change. Going into this year, I gave him until the end of July. He didn't last to the end of June 13th, three plays. What's changed?
Nothing.
So, nothing. In our view. So I hope for Zach's sake, he crams it down our throat tonight and for the rest of the way. I just don't think he should be out there. But hold on to that thought, Clark, if you can put it back up, the question from Jack in Calgary regarding the coaching career of one Craig Dickinson and potentially on his way to the Hall of Fame. I like the question. I'll get to that. But first, gents, throw your headphones on because we are going to Edmonton now. Eddie Steele joining us. He is our Edmonton correspondent, looking fresh as always today. Good morning, Eddie. How are you, my man?
I'm good, brother. How you doing, Rod?
Good, good, good. It's been far too long, Eddie. Actually, the last time we talked, the Eskimos were a lot higher in the standings than they are now. And we'll get to that game in a minute. But you obviously know Zach Collaros well enough. You spent a season with him. What is your take on him being back out on the field and starting tonight in Winnipeg?
Yeah, I mean, it's his decision to play. Me personally, I get being a competitor, wanting to be out there, but like you guys are saying, there's more to life than just ball. And sure, he's got the doctor's clearance, but I tell people, because having retired, I come into a lot of conversations with people and they ask about, you know, the game and the physicality of it. And I say, you can live life with a busted up knee, you can live life with a busted up shoulder, but not a busted up head. And after seeing some of the injuries that he's had over the years, you know, there's definitely some concern for him. But ultimately, it's his choice, and if he feels comfortable, he's a competitor, so you can't really keep him off of the field, that's for sure.
Eddie, to the game tomorrow night, not sure if you're going or not, but Riders and Eskimos, your two old clubs at Commonwealth Stadium. What's your take on this matchup, being the first of a home-and-home series?
Yeah, I mean, it'll be interesting seeing Trevor out there. First game for Harris in quite a few weeks, coming off that arm injury. The Riders, they're playing good ball this year. I'm sure all of us are pretty surprised to see how successful they've been this year and kind of the rise to stardom that Fajardo has had. I'm sure it's been talked about a ton on the show. It'll be a good matchup. Edmonton, people say that they don't have much to play for, and Saskatchewan has everything to play for, but the reality is you know how this league is, and the teams that get hot down the stretch are the ones that end up being successful in the playoffs. So Edmonton doesn't want to go and lose two games and limp into the playoffs and have to go out east where to try and accomplish a feat that's never been done before. And I've had to do that twice in my career, cross over and try and make it to the Grey Cup. Both times when I crossed over, I made it to the East Final. But it's tough. There's a reason that it's never been done in history. So it's tough to do. So Edmonton, they want to be hitting their stride too. So it'll be a really good matchup.
John Lynch here, Eddie. You have a new CEO up there taking a look at these days at the playing very closely, the Eskimos. What's the situation there now? The pressure on the Eskimos to win these two games?
I mean, pressure to win every game. That's the reality. You got to win games. This is their last home game. So you want to put on a good show for the fans. But like I was saying, Trevor Harris's first game back. So he's got to get that rhythm, that chemistry back with his teammates. And yeah, it's going to be interesting. I mean, like I said, they want to win the game. There's no just rolling over and trying to keep guys healthy for the playoffs, because you don't want to just all of a sudden have to try and show up for a playoff game. You want to be hitting your stride going into the playoffs.
Well, the new guy there, though, new CEO, has there been anything said about him looking over the team? I mean, he's looking over this team pretty carefully, I understand. Obviously, that's his job to do that. But do you think it'll be extra pressure, extra, because of him just getting there now and being so intense and looking at Moss and the quarterbacking situation?
Yeah, for sure there's that pressure. I mean, this isn't his first weeks overseeing the team. He's been here for a little bit now. And speaking to some of the guys in the management side of the organization that I talked to, they say, yeah, he's definitely observing quite intensely. And, you know, he wants to run things his way. There's no doubt about it. You can't just come in and, you know, make wholesale changes during the season. So he's going to have his meetings with everybody, do his due diligence. And he's good at what he does. I mean, he's been successful in many different organizations. So obviously he knows a specific recipe for success. So it'll be interesting to see how things change moving forward. I don't know what types of changes, but I can assure you there probably will be some changes.
And that's going to probably depend on how the season ends up. And that leads me into my next question. Eddie, in, I think it was August, you said that the strength of the Eskimos is in their line play. And I started looking at it after you said that, and for sure it is. Trevor Harris was leading the league in passing, though, when he went down. They got some pieces there, though. Do you think if they get it all together on one page in the playoffs that they could do some damage? Do they have the components?
Yeah, they definitely have the components. I mean, they have the ability to have quite a potent offense, especially passing attack. You look at what Harris was doing. I mean, he was leading the league in passing, and he was out for 4 or 5 games, and his numbers are now just being surpassed, you know, the past week or two. So he was obviously putting up good numbers. And the reality is Jason Moss, I mean, I don't agree with a lot of stuff he does or his antics, but he's had the league's leading quarterback in terms of stats and passing the past, like, 6 years or something like that. So he knows how to run an offense and to generate some good offensive yardage. And then the D-line, man, like I said, if you look at their D-line, I think 3 of their starters on the front 4 have 8 sacks apiece or more. So, like, that's major contributions out of your D-line.
And, Eddie, lastly, I see you got your Eskimo Grey Cup ring on. You spent enough time in Saskatchewan to know that Rider fans seem to think this is the only franchise in Saskatchewan where the fans care as much, and that's not the case. Can you talk about the pressure in Edmonton to win? Lynch knows. They led the league in attendance for 30 years. They got all those Grey Cups. They demand winning, man. I bet you they're not feeling so great about the fact that they haven't been in a Grey Cup in a while.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, they're the city of champions for a reason. If you look at the Oilers, if you look at the rich history of the Eskimos, it's actually funny. When I was playing out here in 2014, they, as you drive into the city on all different directions, north, south, east, west, there's the Welcome to Edmonton sign, and then underneath it's the City of Champions. They actually took that City of Champions down in 2014. Because they haven't won anything for so long. And then we go and win the Grey Cup the next year. So we kind of, we brought that title back. But there's a ton of pressure out here. You know, they've had some good teams over the years, football speaking, and haven't really gotten there other than when we did in 2015. And Coach Moss, he's gotten the team to the playoffs, except for last year. And you could say that they've underachieved over the years, you know, with the Mike Riley and some of the talent that they've had. And it's kind of interesting because each season they start off really hot. The past 3 seasons, they're, you know, at the midway point in the season, they're the best team in the league, some would say. And then they fizzle down the stretch. And somewhat the same thing this year. They were, what, 7-2 at one point? And then, you know, now they're 500 clubs, so they got to figure it out. They really do, and there's pressure out here to win. There's no denying that. Great fan base, great people out here.
Eddie, well, you're one of them, man. You fit right in, but we miss you. Thanks for the time this morning, and let's do it again here down the road because now's the fun time.
Yeah, it's go time. I can't wait. Buckle up for it.
That's right. Thank you, Eddie. Have a great weekend.
Thanks, man.
Eddie Steele, 97, joining us from Edmonton this morning.
With us.
You wish he was with us?
Yeah.
He didn't get the offer that he liked.
He's a good football player.
Oh.
A Canadian, too.
He's a champion.
Used to winning.
Potential Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
Our director of scouting, Craig Smith, writing in and says, excellent analysis by Eddie Steele. And that's why we have him on. So we got questions coming in from the Facebook wall and our viewers. We'll get to those when we come back. Plus, the Prairie Mobile text line is open, 306-840-8777. And lots of questions on there. Jack in Calgary says, Craig Dickinson is potentially in the early stages of a Hall of Fame coaching career. Thoughts, Rod? I'll get to that next, because I've been pumping the Craig Dickinson train choo-choo all year. And now I read an article this morning that's got me swayed to somebody else for Coach of the Year. Talk about that and more when we come back.
Right.
How do you keep a monkey in suspense? I'll tell you after this break. It's the Rod Peterson Show on Facebook Live. Listen live at rodpeterson.com and catch all the best clips on our YouTube channel.
Just because you're out in the country, surrounded by fields of green, living sky sunrises and sunsets, shouldn't limit you from connecting to the world. Fast, reliable, and affordable internet for rural Saskatchewan. SaskTel Fusion from Prairie Mobile, your SaskTel authorized dealer. Invite the whole world in. Sign up for SaskTel Fusion today for just $99.99, including basic install. Prairie Mobile, your SaskTel authorized dealer. Lives fully connected.
Universal Collision Center is Saskatchewan's premier auto body shop. Our extensive process ensures that every vehicle that comes through our state-of-the-art facilities is returned pre-accident condition and that every UCC customer experience is an easy one. We're certified to repair all makes, all models, and all luxury brands, and Universal Auto Spa offers full-service detailing packages to suit you and your vehicle. Plus, we're the official body shop of your Saskatchewan Rough Riders. Universal Collision Center, 3910 Rochdale Boulevard and 2355 First Avenue in Regina.
Bronco Plumbing and Heating has been servicing Regina and surrounding areas since 1978. At Bronco, we service all makes and models of furnaces, air conditioners, water heaters, and water softeners. Bronco also provides full sewer service, plumbing service, and duct cleaning. Call Bronco Plumbing and Heating today at 306-781-2090. Proud sponsor of the Rod Peterson Show.
Locally owned and family operated, Emerald Water, refreshing the Rod Peterson Show. From reverse osmosis to natural alkaline and distilled water, they are perfect for your home and office. Saskatchewan's number one source for commercial alkaline with natural electrolytes and minerals that are better for your body. Naturally occurring magnesium, calcium, bicarbonate, and potassium are amazing for your health. Trust 30 years of experience and drink water that matters from Emerald Water.
If you're looking for radio that's got a great message, well, we've got it. LTD Radio plays the best of the 60s to the 90s, all with amazing stories about people right from your community. You can listen live right now at ltdradio.com, iTunes, Streama, and TuneIn. LTD Radio, music to build a better day.
Oh yeah, he's back. Time for more of the Rod Peterson Show.
Welcome back to the show, everybody. Rod Peterson Show rolls on a Friday, episode number 102. Darren Dupont with me, John Lynch in the bunker. Now it's going to get fun. Let the reins out here a little bit. Good old-fashioned sports talk. As I mentioned when we hit show 100 the other day, the odometer has gone back to zero. So when we recognize sports figures who've worn the number that corresponds to the show number, today's episode 102, we'll talk about players that have worn number two. Any jump to mind for you guys?
Yeah, Darren Dupont, the 1997 Wynyard Monarch Pee Wee hockey team. I wore number two back in the day.
We can put our own numbers on here? Okay, that's good.
You remember him?
Yeah, he wasn't very good.
Who's your favorite number two, Lynch?
I've got to think about that one, boy.
Brian Leetch comes to mind.
Actually, my resource that I use, which is usatoday.com, did a list of the all-time best by jersey number. Mm-hmm. Brian Leetch was in it, and I'm like, go figure, American
website. Yeah, he was website. The best number two?
Well, according to usatoday.com.
Yeah, okay.
Derek Jeter.
Oh, our Derek, yeah.
No, not our Derek Jeter. Derek. The Yankees' Derek Jeter. You're thinking of Chad Jeter.
They picked Leetch over Derek Jeter?
No, they're both in the group.
Okay, good.
Barrett Jackman from Regina Pats fame.
Yeah.
Which he did not wear number two with the St. Louis Blues when he got up there. Do you know why?
What?
It was occupied by Al McGinnis.
Oh, yeah. Good reason.
Oh, yeah.
Good reason.
For personal reasons, Curtis Hunt, my good friend Huntsy, who doubles as my older brother, now the GM of the PA Raiders, wore number two with the 1985 champion, Memorial Cup champion PA Raiders. From Rider history, Corey Grant, CG2.
Yeah, remember him.
Won a Grey Cup in 2007. And when I talk about Al McGinnis, by the way, I want to just say this. Matthew Barnaby has gotten into town. Barney, the famed NHL agitator, and from Sirius XM NHL Radio. Barnaby was, he and I were telling stories and reminiscing on the weekend, as you know, in Arcola. And he said, how about this 1996 St. Louis Blues power play? Wayne Gretzky, Brett Hull, Adam Oates, Al McGinnis, and Chris Pronger.
Wow.
That's the power play.
Unbelievable.
So I just named one of them here right now. And by the way, Stu Grimson and Matthew Barnaby are in a Twitter war this morning caused by this show. So if you follow Stu Grimson or Matthew Barnaby on Twitter, you've seen it. If you don't follow them, you should go look. They might throw down this weekend.
That would be awesome.
Based on that.
That would be awesome. Yeah.
Basically, Barney talked about the rivalry that the two had as pugilists, and Grimson's like, how do you have a rivalry with just one guy? Because I wasn't in a rivalry with you. And hilarity ensued.
Fly on the wall.
Are they friends otherwise?
I don't think so.
I doubt it.
Well, Barney, as of last weekend, said he thought they were friends. But after listening to Stu,
oh yeah,
maybe not.
Maybe not so much.
I'm writing down from the Facebook wall famous number twos. Troy Tulowitzki.
I'm trying to
Nelson feel. Writes in.
What
Boy, that great time with the Blue Jays, eh?
Yeah.
Blink, and you miss it. Kawhi Leonard, who was the talk of the NBA in the early on in this season. He got booed the other night in L.A. in the season opener. Did you see that? That was pretty
By
cool.
By the Laker fans.
By the Laker fans. It was great. But Brad Park.
Doug Flutie.
Thank
Doug
you.
Flutie, yeah.
Brad Park, Doug Flutie.
The Argos. Yeah,
you knew this would be a good list.
Oh, yeah.
I got stories on Brad. I got stories on all these guys. Micah Johnson. Stop. I think we got enough. We got enough. Jack Fulton from Calgary watching this morning on Facebook Live writes in and he says, Craig Dickinson is potentially in the early stages of a Hall of Fame coaching career. Thoughts, Rod? Well, from a personal, my initial thought on that is Craig being a longtime friend and a good friend. Yeah, he's my favorite for coach of the year. But you know what? When it gets around to this time of year, and John, you've voted for years on these awards, coach of the year, most outstanding player, rookie of the year, all that. You kind of need a campaign. It's like a political election. Craig Dickinson needs a salesman. He needs somebody promoting him.
You're right.
And so I read the Athletic article by Kirk Penton, which was written on Wednesday. He is the writer out of Winnipeg who covers the CFL for the Athletic, and he basically extolled the virtues of what he thinks are the top four coaches in the CFL right now: Kahari Jones, Craig Dickinson, Dave Dickinson, and Orlando Steinauer. I believe those are the four that he named. And after going through all of those, he said Orlando Steinauer is the guy that should win Coach of the Year. And he had all the reasons right there. Well, here's a guy selling it for Orlando Steinauer. And he's starting to make me think about it. Basically saying Craig Dickinson did not take over a train wreck. He took over a 12-6 team that hosted a playoff game last year. And this is all the kinds of things that sway voters at this time of year when you're going behind the curtain to check your ballot.
Yep.
So who's promoting Craig Dickinson? Why? You tell me why he should win Coach of the Year. And Jack, you're in Calgary saying that Craig Dickinson might be at the start of a Hall of Fame career. Well, he's got to win a Grey Cup. Come on. What do nice guys do, Lynch?
Run the Kinsman Club.
Right.
They run the Kinsman Club.
So trust me, I am very much in Craig Dickinson's corner. And for sentimental reasons, I would check that box for Craig Dickinson as Coach of the Year. However, Kirk Penton, the writer, has sold me on Orlando Steinauer. And just furthermore, because I can see, Darren, you've got thoughts. I can smell the smoke coming out of your ears. He said, what are the criteria for Coach of the Year in this article on The Athletic? What are the criteria?
Was it chosen?
Well,
I don't know for sure.
They change it every year.
I know. After the season? It has to be
I believe now it's after the season. A few years ago, it was before the playoffs. They voted on it. I don't even know what it is anymore, but just hang on. He said the criteria is usually the Coach of the Year is for the guy that rescued a team from the dumpster fire and, you know, restored it to prominence. I'm like, that was never my criteria.
Craig Berube.
It's always been, as a matter of fact, for the last 20 years, the only guy that's won Coach of the Year whose team didn't win the Grey Cup was Jim Barker in 2009 with the Argos, and it was the Alouettes that won the Grey Cup, as we all remember. It's generally the guy whose team wins the Grey Cup.
Right.
What it is.
Right.
I don't believe it's who's rescued their team from the dumpster fire to restoring it to prominence.
Should it
Now, if that was the criteria, then it's Kahari Jones.
Yeah. Easy.
That's right.
No, I've talked enough. You guys go.
Yeah, but it's got to be the whole season it's based on, or just a guy like Kahari who comes in halfway through the season. Hey, I mean, right now today, I could give you a good case for Kahari Jones, a real good case. And I hope it's done at the end of the year. And I don't know what you do with Kahari there, Darren, because he's only been there half the year. Is it fair to the other guys?
For sure it is. I mean, you got to look at the body of work. You got to look at the season. Everybody's got their own criteria. That's the point that you're making. Everybody sees it a little bit differently. And so everybody votes based on that. And that's always going to slightly be the case. But if you outline what the criteria is a little more clearly, you'll have a better understanding of why they were
chosen.
That
is a must, don't you think?
It's really hard. Yeah, it's really hard to award somebody a coach of the year over somebody who won the Grey Cup. Because no matter what, the process was in place. You had your team together enough to win a championship. That's enough to win Coach of the Year. But if you're talking about the season, for me, it's about who did the best job and the best job with what they had. And, you know, Kahari Jones, I mean, he's really turned things around. But Orlando Steinauer, I mean, think of what he's done. He lost the MOP front runner pretty early in the year.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
He's had to deal with his top defensive player and Simone Lawrence being in and out of the lineup and controversy that's been around that team. He's had to deal with a lot.
Yep.
Right? But transitioning in to being the head coach, he's had that team bought
now
in.
The record year for Ticat wins.
Yeah. I mean, how do you vote for anybody else right now?
I know. Honestly, the way I talked myself into thinking it's Kahari Jones.
I could do that,
too. Because he takes over the head coaching job a week before the regular season starts.
Mm-hmm.
In what was an absolute three-ring circus as orchestrated by Cavis Reed, and they didn't even have a quarterback.
No. He made one.
He made one in Vernon Adams Jr.
He made one.
What about a coach right here? Making a quarterback a hero here in Fajardo.
You know what?
Well, we didn't know who he was.
I know.
Yeah, so you think about that. And we had this up, and it has been my thoughts from the beginning. When everybody wanted Isaac Harker after the first game or the second game.
From Colorado School of Mines.
Yeah, and I'm like, he stuck with Fajardo and is the best. He's made good decisions every step of the way. Anytime there's been a little bit of adversity, he's made the right decisions.
Till now. Now and, we got to go in the playoffs,
well,
and we'll see how good he is.
Of course.
He's got to win the Grey Cup to win the award, does he not?
Oh, no, for sure. But we're talking about the question that came in and setting up to be a Hall of Fame career. Oh, Cody Fajardo's on those steps. He's got the demeanor. He's got the leadership. He's had the results.
Yep.
Now you have to win championships and compile that year over year over year over year. Craig Dickinson, you and I have seen him and interacted with him in the community. He's got that. He's got that fabric. He's woven into the fabric of Saskatchewan. He's got his team bought into his message. So he's starting to set the framework for a Hall of Fame career for sure. But he needs the results, and I'm interested to see if Craig can hammer it down, bring down the hammer when he needs to, when there is adversity, real adversity, of a team that maybe loses three or four or five in a row.
The Picasso has not been finished painting.
That's right.
Right?
We just organized the
we're halfway
all the supplies
to 75% through this. I think he's a little further than that. But I do remember at training camp walking in, and it was about day five or six of training camp, and I had a lot of coaches and players and staff run up to me along the fence, and they're like, Rod, this is so awesome under Dickinson. It's just more relaxed. Everything is great. And I'm like, well, that can go one of two ways. You know, either too relaxed, or they can play relaxed, which is what you want.
Yeah.
And then they start the year 1-3, was it not? And I'm like, oh, boy. Because I know one guy said to me, the fear of Jones is gone. That tension, that knot. It was there. Believe me, it was palpable. And I'm sure it was the same around Don Matthews, right? Because they're the same type of dictator.
Yeah.
And Don Matthews' teams won, and Chris Jones's teams have won. I'm not saying what Jones did was wrong and what Dickinson's right, but it's a vastly different style. And now we're seeing at 11-5... the benefits of Craig Dickinson's style of being a little more, well, a lot more relaxed. Now, when you say drop the hammer, he'll drop the hammer. And it's like your dad. If he's yelling at you all the time, you tune him out.
Yeah.
But that one time he yells, you're paying attention.
I've heard that.
But I think we're coming to one conclusion, you guys. It's got to be at the end of the year or before the Grey Cup when you name the guy who's the coach of the year. Don't
what?
You?
No.
Okay. You do it at 1 week after the Grey Cup. So that's a real big factor.
I will say this to you. What if the Jack Adams Trophy for Coach of the Year in the NHL, and I can't, they used to vote on it before the playoffs, now they vote on after. What about Craig Berube last year?
Perfect choice.
who takes over at January 1, whatever it was, and their last place in the NHL and coaches them to a Stanley Cup.
Filled all the
For
criteria.
That reason, you can't vote until the championship's decided.
Right. Filled all the criteria in our minds.
The story hasn't been told. Yeah, the full story hasn't been told until the championship's won. Yeah, that's a good way to put it. It has to be taken into consideration, no doubt.
Big consideration.
But bringing it full circle, it's people like us, it's the newspapers, it's the analysts that have to sell these things.
Yeah.
You think about what we
Our
talk about.
Our PR staff,
yes,
whatever.
But what do we talk about at the water cooler? What the panel was talking about on TV in the weekend. Those opinions become our opinions. And that's, you know, when your teams and when your players, that's who you need to influence. And that's where, you know, all of this information comes from. The relationships you build, and it turns into influence from the real influencers who are on radio and television and on the panels. And when they start talking about you, the fans listen. When the fans listen, they make more noise, and the voters listen. And all of a sudden, that's how you figure out who's on.
Well, and by the way, I couldn't remember who won the Jack Adams Trophy for NHL Coach of the Year last year. And I wonder how many of our viewers right now could. Hate to put you on the spot. I wouldn't have had it. I had to look it up. It was not Craig Berube.
John Cooper?
Barry Trotz.
That was my second choice, actually.
The year before?
No, no. Right. What he did with the... No, yeah, that's right. Barry Trotz. What he did after leaving Washington, going to the New York Islanders,
yeah, right,
without John Tavares.
Yeah.
And flipped that team around and made him... He made him a Stanley Cup contender.
Of course. And they upset whom in the first round? Or did Carolina beat him in the first round? Doesn't matter. Here's an example. Barry Trotz, I know Trotz, he played for the Pats. I'm sure he got that trophy and he's like, I don't give it to Berube. He deserves it. Unless Trotz thought that he really did, but it should probably go to the championship. Here it is, Clark telling me, the Islanders upset the Penguins in round one of the playoffs.
Penguins, and
then Carolina took out the Islanders.
Yes.
So Wayne in BC says it's fun to talk about this. That's what makes sports so fun. Absolutely. Doug Cameron in Calgary says, and Craig's brother Dave just keeps rolling along. He had to replace 11 of 24 starters on a Grey Cup team, and stupid injuries mounted this year. Yeah, that's the thing with Calgary. I mean, we've had our fun. We've poked at them. There's nothing that you can poke at Calgary anymore.
No. Mm-hmm.
They shut everybody up, including loudmouths like me, in the Grey Cup last year by beating Ottawa. And they beat them soundly. It was a double-digit victory on the frozen tundra of Commonwealth Stadium. There's nothing to be said about Calgary.
He did a great job this year, Craig Dickinson, with that team. Dave Dickinson, I mean. Dave did a great job in Calgary. With the injuries he had, and then the injuries to Bo Levi, getting Arbuckle in there, they kept on winning. So he becomes a candidate. You can put a big story forward, a big campaign forward, for naming him the coach of the year.
Jason Catcher is watching in France today. And he says, Roddy, can you give us another chutzpah? He's got chutzpah. He's got pizzazz. Right? He's the bee's knees.
The bee's knees.
Bill Belichick is projected to be the coach of the year in the NFL this year. I'm Googling very fast who's the 2019 NFL coach of the year. And they hand those out the night before, do they not, at the Super Bowl? Do they not?
I think so.
I am.
Can't find it. That's a problem with the NFL. It's all fake news. I just typed in 2019 NFL Coach of the Year. 27 power rankings for head coaches in the NFL, right? And predictions. I just want the actual who won it. Listen, I promised Jeff Label that he would join us on the set. Dupes, you want to adjourn just for a second?
Yeah.
Because we've got a special guest here in the bunker. Jeff Leybold is walking across Canada to raise awareness for diabetes, which unfortunately I'm far too aware of. As are you, right, Lynch?
I sure am.
Pull that mic into your frenzy. Sure. Jeff Leybold, and he started in Halifax how long ago, Jeff?
238 days ago.
Roughly.
Roughly, if you're counting.
Good for you, my man. And you're an Edmonton guy?
Yep.
So I knew that you were coming in, but I didn't know what you looked like. So you stood off set there for a little bit watching. I appreciate it. What did you think of what was going on, this circus in here?
It's great. I enjoy it. This is stuff that I don't get to talk about and do and be and stuff in because I'm on the road. I don't get to check out the news and see who's winning and what, and I barely get to watch enough sports to even see where the rankings are now. So, and I don't trend to waste time on my cell phone because I got 100 other things.
Right. Well, what caught me was when Eddie Steele was talking about the pressure in Edmonton for the Eskimos. Everybody thinks it's just the Oilers, and it's not. It's the you were sitting there like it was everything. Jeff Leibolt bobblehead day.
It's everything.
Talk about that. Right? Yeah.
Like when being in Edmonton and being in that environment, especially when you go through a couple of championship runs, but it doesn't really pan out to anything, right? You get to a point where it's like you guys continuously get great players. You have great staff. You keep changing coaches and management and everything else, no matter what the team is. And you just keep transferring over. But nothing ever culminates together to bring us back to where, as you say, they removed that City of Champions sign, right? We're no longer champions of anything.
What about Jason Moss now? How do you rate him in this category?
You know, I've enjoyed his play. I don't ever have a whole lot of bad to say. I don't get to spend as much time paying attention to him as I'd like, but I think he's a decent guy, and he's got the right mindsets and the right experience to you know, push those things and get the team together.
Yeah, but there's two.
Well, Lynch. I didn't bring him in here for an Eskimos chat.
Well, but
you're okay. You want to finish that?
No, we just. I think he's got enough that he can bring things together. But I don't think that we have enough of a group atmosphere in any of the teams to bring it. Like right now, Edmonton's doing some. Oilers are doing some good things right now, but I don't foresee that lasting because they've always come out hot in the beginning, drop out. Second half.
Well, there's been changes there, so right. With Tippett and Holland, it looks good.
The changes happen regularly, but it's just we're waiting for that one glory moment. Everything comes together, and as you say, a swan song.
It looks promising.
Happen, right?
Now, you've had 238 days of out walking on the road to think about things like this and raise awareness for diabetes. So why did you want to pull off this crazy stunt?
Well, the crazy stunt was always something I wanted to do. It's been in my mind since I was teenage years. It was a back burner. Someday I'll get to hike in the country. Right. And then my mother was diagnosed diabetic 5 years ago and looking for a way to help out and get involved, and nothing really piqued my interest. Right. So I spent my time putting the plan together, but it was again, someday. And then my girlfriend come out and said, you know, if you're going to do it, you should go and do it. We have other things to do in life, right?
Good for her.
Right? And she gave me the opportunity to be able to do this and then came up with the idea of putting both the diabetes and the walk together. And so made the plan and quit my job. And March 1st, I left and started in Halifax, Nova Scotia.
Good for you. And like my dad... battle with diabetes, and I'll never forget I think he was in his late 30s when he was diagnosed with it, maybe early 40s. I remember him under the tap drinking water so much because he was so thirsty, and they're like, something's wrong with you. He went to the doctor and they said, you've got diabetes, and started with pills, and then it became shots, and then it became just not a lot of fun.
No.
You know, so what, for those that don't know, and Frenzy, if you don't mind me saying, right, you have it mildly.
Yeah.
Like you're still on pills, right? Are you not? Yeah. But how can you prevent it?
Well, it's, you know, exercise and eating right. Like in our society nowadays, eating right is almost impossible because of the price on food, right? To eat well.
It's expensive.
Most people can't afford it.
It's expensive. That's right.
You just can't afford to eat healthy. But to get up and go, I'm not saying go hike across the country, but to walk around your block a day or go down to the gym once a week or whatever, just enough to keep you active. That's the best way to help prevent developing the diabetes. But as for once you've gotten it, right, type 2 isn't as bad as it used to be. Now there's, as long as you're eating healthy and doing the right things, medications, are pretty much pill form for the most part. But when you're looking at, like, I've met so many type 1 diabetics, children, stuff like that, it's a life-altering experience. It's the nothing will ever be the same in your life, and it's not going away because we don't have any idea how to cure it. Right? We've kept treatment, the same treatment, for over 80 years. Technology in how to implement the treatment has come a long way, but the treatment itself is still exactly the same. Now they've come up with pills and stuff, but it's still back to the same thing, right?
Yeah.
I think that we need to be putting a little bit more emphasis on it because it's the fastest growing disease in the world. It doubles every 5 to 10 years. Right now you're sitting at half a billion people who currently have it in the world. In 5 to 10 years, you're looking at 1 billion people. That's not a small chunk of change when it's 8% of our population, or 10% of our population will be affected. That's a huge number, and I think it's just time that we start focusing on it more because it's not going away and it's debilitating, right? It does everything from top to bottom. And if I had it, he has it, you have it, we all have different symptoms, different effects, things that will happen to you. Leading cause of, you know, heart disease and, you know, liver failures and all these other things. It's something that we need to step up and really start looking at.
Well, it's great that you're doing this and raising awareness for it, and that's the whole idea. How can people support your campaign and follow what you're doing?
So you can go on to the Great Walkabout Facebook page, same as the Twitter account, Great Walkabout, or even connect to my Facebook page, Jeff Labelt. And then there's just links to all the fundraisers and stuff that we're doing, the media and all that, in all of those social media aspects. So if you Google one, you end up getting them all because one connects to the next, right? So if you even just went to my Facebook page, Jeff Labelt, you can link right to all of the information from there, but a quick Google search to the Great Walkabout and everything comes up.
Jeff, thanks for what you're doing. Appreciate it. Good luck.
Well, thank you very much and have yourselves a wonderful day. And I love this show.
Thank you. Join the club and stay safe out there all the rest. Hour two coming up, Colby Armstrong from Rogers Sportsnet, NHL veteran, and also Darren Bombing from TSN Winnipeg. It's the Rod Peterson Show, Football Friday on Facebook Live and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
If you've been using an inefficient heating system for indoor or outdoor use, you might be surprised by the quality and comfort that zone-controlled infrared heaters offer. Heating Green's energy-saving infrared heaters transfer sun-like warmth directly to people and objects without noise or maintenance. Increase your comfort and decrease cost, room by room. Our silent infrared heaters are perfect for indoor and outdoor spaces. For greater comfort using less energy, contact us at heatinggreen.com.
Our biggest sale of the year has returned. The greatest auto sale is back at Capital GMC. We have over 1,000 new and used vehicles to choose from with savings up to $17,000. And for a limited time, we're offering finance rates as low as 0% on new and used vehicles. Buy or lease a new or used vehicle during the Greatest Auto Sale for your chance to win your payments for a whole year. Run down, walk down, bust down, or fly down. Just get yourself down to Capital's Greatest Auto Sale.
He's covering everything that matters to you. It's the Rod Peterson Show. Tune in live Monday to Friday, 10 a.m. to noon, to catch the show live and be a part of the action. Take control by commenting live and sharing the show with your friends.
Saskatchewan Snow Beef is the highest quality beef you will find, bred, born, and raised in Saskatchewan. Snow Beef is the result of crossbreeding full-blood Wagyu males with Holstein females. Much like a fine wine, when given the proper care and diet, the Snow Beef genetics develop superior marbling and flavor. The culmination of these efforts is the best beef you can get in Saskatchewan. Saskatchewan Snow Beef is available at Crave Kitchen and Wine Bar on Victoria Avenue in Regina, Little Red's Market Cafe in Mortlock, Saskatchewan, or take some home to your own grill by purchasing it at Local and Fresh, 1377 Hamilton Street in Regina. For more information, follow them on Facebook or Instagram at Sask Snow Beef.
Some of the challenges we face with the CT technology that we have today is some of the deficiencies in around integration with some of our other systems. The addition of two new 4D simulators within the programming of the Saskatchewan Cancer Agency is going to have significant impact on you know, the care we provide to the people of Saskatchewan.
For more Rod Peterson On Demand, visit rodpeterson.com.